Our second scripture reading is from 2 Kings. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." And he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all of your neighbors, empty the vessels, and not just a few. Then go in, shut the door behind you and your children, and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are none." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I had asked Ryan to lead us in an exercise this morning that could show us the power of what happens when we each have our part to play and when we all play our parts together. And I bet you didn't wake up thinking this morning, "I'm going to make a rainstorm." But yet, here we are. And feel free to add that on your resume, rainstorm creator. I'll sign off on it. But something really beautiful happened, because what I loved about this exercise is that when we all came together, we saw what was happened when we all lent our voice, our part, our role into the work of the community. None of us could have made all of those noises all at the same time. It was impossible for one person to do it all, and yet when we each did what we were supposed to do, something bigger than ourselves happened. It was really, really cool. And while each noise was kind of fun on its own to snap, and I don't know if those were birds or raindrops, either way, it was really cool. But each of the noises was fun to do on its own, but how amazing was it when all of those parts came together? And what a gift to have my friends from Joy Street Choir, because each of the parts that you sing on your own is really beautiful. And when you sing all of your parts together, it is transcendent and really, really amazing. We're in a sermon series right now called God's Big Beautiful Family. And we're talking about how God's family, about what God's family looks like in both beautiful and surprising ways. And we're thinking about how God is asking us to live into this big and loving family that God is creating. And today, we are talking about how in God's big, beautiful family, we share what we have. Friends, will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I give you thanks for my friends here today. I give you thanks for the opportunity to be here, to hear the scriptures, to sing the songs, to pray the prayers, and to be with these beautiful people in this beautiful space. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move in us and with us and through us, that you would send us out into the world to be beacons of light and hope and grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we just heard a story in the book of 2 Kings about the prophet Elisha and a widow. And the widow gives us the circumstance. We heard that the woman's husband had died and that there were creditors coming to collect on debts, and she didn't have the money to pay them. And so she was scared that they might even take her own sons as payment for those debts. And that probably sounds a little shocking to us. But we need to know about this time is that women, and widows in particular, had very little power. They had no rights. They didn't have the ability to own land or property. And as a result, they had very little influence or agency in the society in which they lived. And so when a woman's husband died, they became very vulnerable to people who would want to take advantage of them or treat them unfairly. You may have caught on, but there's lots of scriptures in the Bible that talk about how we treat widows and orphans, and that's there for reasons, because these were vulnerable populations, And in this circumstance, they would have been considered, this widow would have been considered very powerless. And I want you to think about something for a minute. Think about what happens in your mind if you've been told your whole life that you have no power or agency. Think about what it might feel like to be told that you don't have anything and that you are nothing. You don't have land, you don't have money, you don't have power. You can't do this and you don't have that. Those messages, over and over and over and over again, would likely make anyone think that those statements are true. If you were told that you were nothing and had nothing all of your life, at some point you probably start to believe them. And we see that in this passage, because what happens when Elisha asks the widow, what does she have? What is her first response? She says, nothing. I have nothing to give. She had come to believe that she had nothing to offer to the world. But I love this turning. She says, your servant has nothing in this house except this small jar of oil. This small jar of oil. I wonder what made her think of the oil. Maybe she thought, oh, that could sell that in the marketplace for a few bucks and maybe get a few ahead of my circumstance. Maybe it was literally the only thing she had in the house. But for whatever reason, she says, I've got this. It's not much. And Elisha says, okay, go and grab everything you can. Find all of your jars and then all of your pots and then all of your pans. And then when you've done that, go to your neighbor's house and get theirs and go to the other neighbor's house and get theirs and get as many vessels as you can. I imagine this was a scene similar to a 7-Eleven gas station on those days where they say, bring anything but a cup. Have you seen this? You pay a small fee and you can fill literally any container you can hold full of Slurpee, because who needs that much Slurpee? But anyway, it's pretty fun. And people bring in all sorts of things, flower vases, pitchers, soap dispensers, garbage cans, even suitcases, and fill them with Slurpee at these 7-Elevens. The widow has this same amount of desperation. She goes and she grabs everything she can to fill it. And from this little jar of oil, this afterthought of a gift, this sort of second thought of what I have and what I can give, from this little jar of oil comes a source of God's provision in this woman's life. We see the widow who had been told she had nothing, had been told she was nothing, using the little that she had and witnessing God's literal overflowing abundance more and more and more than she ever could have thought. It's interesting to me that the oil only stops when she runs out of containers to fill. It kept giving until she could no longer hold it. More than she ever thought she needed. We hear that she's then told to go and sell that oil to pay off her debts. That little jar became a source of liberation for her. A way that she could get out from under her debt and live a new life. It's not just for her. Think of all the neighbors that were blessed from her abundance. Think of the neighbors that got to see, well, think of the neighbors that had said, why are you asking for all of my pots and pans? But also, think of the neighbors that got to see all of this abundance come from this little offering that this widow had. The abundance not only blessed her, it blessed her community, and it blessed her neighborhood. And that's how it's meant to be, friends. When we take our gifts, even when we don't think they are much, we see how God can use those gifts to bless others. And we see that there is more than enough to go around. We heard a few weeks ago Pastor Megan preach on this story in Scripture about the feeding of the 5,000. And she told us that it was actually more than 5,000, because that was only the men, not including women and children. So a huge crowd had gathered, and the disciples were worried about what to feed them. And Jesus said, kind of similar to what Elisha said, he says, well, what do you have? And they said, not much. Five loaves of bread and two fish. Now, I'm not a caterer, but five loaves and two fish usually doesn't feed 10,000 people or more. And yet they brought what they had, and something amazing happened in the story that day. Maybe it's the case, as Pastor Megan reminded us, that other people started to share, and when the whole crowd shared, they realized they had enough between them. Maybe it's a story like this, where God somehow miraculously kept multiplying those bread and fish until there was more than enough. Whatever happened, the whole crowd ate that day, and then there were leftovers. And not just a few leftovers, there were lots of leftovers on that day. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, the whole crowd ate, and there was more than enough to go around. In our Acts reading, we heard about the early church. We heard about how they lived and how they divided their possessions. And you have to remember that in this time, being a Christian was risky. Christianity was actually illegal at this time. It was outlawed by the government. And so people had to get creative about how to get organized, how to live, and how to share. And we heard what they did. They shared what they had. Some people sold their land and they gave the money to the disciples and they split it up among the people in need. They shared their things and no one was in need. When I read this passage in Acts this week, I was reminded once again of the echoes of a proverb, an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. When we share what we have, we realize that we have what we need. We realize, like that widow, that often there is an abundance, even more than we could predict. One of my favorite things that I've been learning recently is this concept called assets-based community development. And that sounds real fancy, doesn't it? But my favorite part about assets-based community development is the start of each letter is A, B, C, D. So if you forget all the names and the fancy language there, it's just A, B, C, D, and it's as simple as A, B, C, D. The core belief of assets-based community development, or ABCD, is that rather than starting from a place of saying what we don't have, we start from a place of saying what we do have. We begin by focusing on our gifts, on our assets. I saw a quote recently that said, in every community, something works. Instead of asking what's wrong and how do we fix it, we should be asking what's strong, what's worked, and how do we make more of it. Did you catch that? Instead of what's wrong, we ask what's strong. Not what don't we have, but what do we have? And I like this shift because it's real easy, and the world may very easily tell us all the things that we lack. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. I can't do this thing. I used to be able to do that thing. I don't have this thing anymore. I don't. I can't. I haven't. But ABCD ask us a different question, the same question that the prophet asks. What do you have? What can you give? And you want to know something? We all have something to give. Each of us has something to give. It may not seem like much, but I want you to remember that exercise from before. We all have something to offer to the community. And if we don't offer our part, the story's incomplete. When we need to offer our talent and our skill and our asset, we may not think it's significant, and that's okay. God can do a lot with a little. They thought they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish, but look at what God did. She thought she only had a small jar of oil, but look at what God did. Friends, our question today is, what do you have to offer, and what can God do with it? Because without your voice, our song is incomplete. Without your perspective, we're gonna miss something. And without you, there is no us. I was reminded of a story this past weekend, of a story that happened during World War II. The Allied soldiers of France and England were trapped on a beach. They were surrounded by the German enemies on all sides, and they only had a few days to escape. Their only escape was the ocean behind them. And there were 330,000 soldiers on this beach. Can you imagine? And so they needed a big boat to come and save them all, but the reality was the water was too shallow. They couldn't get a big tanker or destroyer in there to get all those men out. They were stuck without a lot of options. And in desperation, the call went out over the radio that anyone that had a boat, please come. Bring your boat. It doesn't matter what size. Bring your boat and help these men who are trapped. And you know what happened? almost 900 boats showed up. Fishing boats, sailboats, big boats, small boats. And for several days, trip after trip, ordinary citizens took 5, 10, 15, 100 soldiers at a time. And eventually, every single one of those 330,000 troops got off the shore. Now, I bet you that when the radio call went out, if you had a boat, you probably thought to yourself, they're not talking to me. My boat can only hold 5 people. I'd have to make almost 100,000 trips to get all those people off the shore. There's no way. It's only a small boat. I have nothing to offer. But something really beautiful happened when everyone showed up. No single boat could have taken them all, but with all the boats, everybody got home safe. Friends, none of us has all of what we need. Nobody can do it all. We need one another. When we come together and we share our gifts and when we share our talents and when we share our lives, we see that there is more than enough and we see that we have what we need. So get in your boats and get on the water, even though it may not seem like much. And bring your jars of oil, even though they seem small. Let us bring what we have, our voices, our talents, our assets, our whole lives. Let us bring what we have, and then let us see the amazing thing that God can do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, I'd love to pray for us, and as I do, can I invite my friends from Joy Street Choir to come back up and bless us with our last song? Can you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for today.